working on a nightmare. Working on a nightmare. Trying to lose a awkward teenage blues. Working on a nightmare.
It sticks.
This is the bit we're getting to.
The two little losers of Christmas. The two Christmas babies on the toilet. I run out.
Christmas is for babies. Because Jesus was a baby.
That's true.
So that's anything. That's a compliment. That's saying we're like Christ. Christ-like. In his most pure and baby state.
But he was famous for what he did after he became a baby. You've decided to go back to being babies.
But he's famous for being a baby.
Oh, that's true, actually. That's actually one of the major parts of the whole story.
You know, the Immaculate Conception? What the fuck? That's like one of his famous things.
Did he do that? Yeah, I guess he did do that, technically. I don't care. This is bullshit. You're trying to catch me out on the technicality. You're both co-hosts to me now. This is a podcast, and that's all it is. Okay?
Well, all that aside, I did very much appreciate the Christmas illustration.
Oh, you did appreciate the Christmas. Well, thanks for telling me on Christmas Day. I gave a tailor, listeners, I gave a tailor-made card that I saw like days in advance, and I was like, this would be very, very good for Kip and Jess.
And when I saw it, I was like, this is amazing. This is very, very good.
Well, it must have been so flabbergastingly amazing that you just put your phone down and just enjoyed the rest of the day with the memories. Because I did not hear a peep.
That's the problem with doing the high bar, is that we didn't know what to say back.
Because we didn't have anything good. To find a ham house for you.
Ham houses don't grow on trees. That's like one of their things.
You were going to buy me a hen house?
Ham house made of ham.
They do grow, like, because I got the same advertisement. I got the same advertisement. You didn't seek that out for me.
It was to seed your socials with ham-vertisements.
Well, that's pretty good. But I refused to be dazzled by consummate displays of ham. I said, I gave you a season's greetings, and then it was not until the afternoon of the 26th when I just brought it to your attention. That you didn't respond to my well wishes, and you wrote, "Oops, seasons greasons, Lucky D." So what Kim said to me, and then just said, "Merry Crimbo." I couldn't even get a legitimate, unironic greeting out of you both. And this is a monster on the like a big old monkey thing on the back of an abominable snowman. With an extraordinarily flat nose, I think it's a very good card.
Yes, it is.
I like that you sent us the Seasons Greasons monster, and then you're upset because yours was an authentic use of irony, and ours is an ironic use of irony.
Yeah,
ours was also authentically use of irony. I think.
How?
I think Crimbo is as authentic as the Seasons Greasons monster.
It comes across like a 36 hours later as being a dismissal of the feelings of the season. This is a podcast about public season feelings, and this is an episode about season's feelings. And we decided this ahead of time. And then you'd give me a Christmas shit. You give me a Christmas shit the day after Christmas, right on my heart.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. That's exactly what happened.
And then he sent it back to me with the faces switched around. Oh, the mouths flipped upside down. Inscrutable.
I think it's pretty scrutable. I think it's pretty clear what's going on in that picture.
And then a mosquito love heart. More irony. Cat.
No, that's from the vet.
I don't know why they put a mosquito in that love heart, but I thought it was pretty sweet.
Strange. A crab claw out of the vet too. This is a horrible vet. Taking the claws off. The humble crab.
Well, I mean, that's how you get to the meat.
Well, I wouldn't know that. And they can also just drop their claws, can't they?
I think they can grow them back up. I think they can do whatever they want.
And a pygmy monkey fascinated by insects. Inscrutable. All of this inscrutable.
That's a sweet. You can't say you didn't scrut that one. You can't say you didn't scrut the monkey that is being very gentle and trying to play with the grasshopper and then gets a little out and then tries again.
Yeah, I guess so. But I just feel like this is just like a you're trying to dazzle me.
Well, yeah, sure.
To distract me.
Are you not dazzled?
Yeah, I liked it. Well, okay. Well, you're not entirely forgiven. I'm going to be angry for this entire episode and for into the new year, I imagine.
Okay, well, find some more dazzling videos, I guess. I got mad fucking videos online. I'll send you monkeys. There's the, have you seen Bath Time for Baby Sloths?
Yeah, I think I have seen that. Sloths do really have a very, they are very expressive faces.
Have you seen the gorilla spinning around in the kiddie pool?
Yeah, that's a classic.
No.
That one's a little scary.
I love that, dude. Have you seen the monkey that searches through all of the pockets? There's like a woman.
Don't give away the ending.
Oh, okay. So he searches through all these pockets looking for a banana. And then there's a twist ending. So you just have to see it for yourself.
Okay.
So those golden monkeys with the weird mustaches.
Yeah, I know those ones. Okay, well, send them to me then. But yeah. This is all just like you just... I'm still humiliated, and you're trying to distract me from that humiliation, but I still feel it, okay? So you can show me as many monkeys as you like, but the two monkeys in this conversation are you and you, okay?
No!
Right? And I refuse to be bewitched. The two little dicks of Christmas.
How am I going to find this monkey? Golden monkey, searching for banana twist.
Wait, does it actually say twist ending?
No, I'm trying to find it. I'm trying to find that monkey. It's a golden snub-nose monkey.
I don't.
Golden snub-nose monkey. Actually, I don't know if a golden snub-nose monkey does this one. I'm just filling it in my head because it's a very charismatic thrill as I seek the monkey video.
We're not letting up on visual humor. Well, I'm going to tell a story. I'm in Niagara Falls at the moment. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls?
Haven't.
It's a bleak little place. I don't know why, like, because I knew so much about Niagara Falls growing up, and when I arrived here, I was like, why the fuck did I know so much about Niagara Falls in Australia in like the 90s? Like,
yeah, why did you know that much about that?
I don't know, but like, it was just like such a like any large amount of water doing anything, we would just call it Niagara Falls growing up. And I came here, and it's like they're pretty big, but like they're not like then I don't know they must be one of the biggest waterfalls in the world, but like. I don't know. It seems weird that I knew so much about them when I was like 6 years old. Like, I didn't know anything about anything, but I knew what Niagara Falls were, what countries they were between, what they looked like, blah, blah, blah. And then I get here and there's like very, very little. It's kind of like a weird little ghost town. Seems like the Canadian side is a lot better, but I forgot my passport, so I can't cross over. But to fucking insult to injury, I send you this message, which doesn't get a response. I go to Hungry Jack's because I wanted to get an Impossible Burger because they have the Impossible Burgers there. They are all shut up, but they're still open. And it says, like, use the drive-through. And so I walked through the drive-through, and it didn't register me because I'm not as heavy as a car. And then a car came, and I asked them to come up, and then I said what I wanted, and then I walked to the thing, and then they refused to serve me after doing that. And just before I went to go and buy myself a little beer in preparation for this, I walked into the store. Like beer and like everything in the fridges everywhere with post-it notes on every door that say no beer. And the guy comes out and he's like, sorry, no beer. And I'm like, what? Like, it's just here. And he's like, eh. And then I hear him get back on the phone. And he's trying to pay his internet bill. I was like, what is happening in Niagara Falls?
This sounds like real shit, man.
Yeah, it sucks. But
yeah. I didn't want to, like, because I was going to say when you said you were going to Niagara Falls, I heard it sucks, but I didn't want to pre-ruin your experience in case you had a really good time.
I'm still having a good time, and it is really nice to kind of walk around and listen to the waterfall all the time and see it in places, but yeah, I guess I assumed it was going to be like Las Vegas or something, just some gigantic thing in the middle of nowhere with just like heaps and heaps of people doing everything. It's like exclusively folks from Latin America that are visiting. Like I don't see anyone else. It's just like Spanish everywhere, and like heaps and heaps of different countries in Latin America. I'm not sure why the attraction would be to Niagara Falls when I don't know.
It's a similar childhood curriculum,
yeah,
where they like really push Niagara Falls.
But like you hear about did they tell you about it in school, or was it like on TV a lot, or like where would you have learned all this?
I think it probably was both, because I did get taught a little bit about U.S. history in primary school, but nothing else like later than that. But I just learned so much from like cartoons. I remember the first time I went to California, I was just like, holy shit, like this is like the Looney Tunes. It looks exactly like the Looney Tunes, like the desert. Like it was so familiar to me just from growing up watching Looney Tunes. Huh. And so maybe I got some Niagara Falls information there. And that's why.
Yeah, a lot of my childhood information came from Looney Tunes.
We learned some bad stuff.
I like I'm sorry, we're doing some more visual humor. But like the like licking your fingers to like test the direction of the wind.
Yeah. And like getting the Y-shaped stick and looking for water.
Huh. We're sleeping like this.
Yeah. Honk shoe, honk shoe when you're sleeping. Honk shoe, honk shoe. Me, 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 me. All right, Kip, did you find your visual humor?
Can't find it. I'm going to have to go on Instagram. I'm going to have to go back through the DMs.
Searching for stuff on the internet is hard. Like, for this type of stuff. I tried... Do you remember there was a bit, like, a few years ago, a conservative guy traveled to Cuba to make jokes about the limited range of items that were available in Cuban supermarkets. Do you remember that guy who was, like, the character on the internet for a bit? And I was trying to look it up to show a friend of mine the other day, this particular guy, because when you zoom in on his shoes, they're about five sizes too big. And like this is a guy for whom personal choice is like one of the most paramount liberties in the world. So one must assume that he's chosen to wear shoes that are five sizes too large, because it couldn't be a function of any kind of limitations in distribution or anything like that. And so I wanted to show this because I thought it was very funny. And then trying to look up conservative guy, Cuba, pointing at large, you know, cans of tomato, you know, like it was just impossible for me to find it. So I had to describe it like I did then, and it just doesn't work.
That's kind of why, that's what's so interesting to me about like people who go crazy for like cancel culture, because it's like, if you don't make it part of your personality, no one will be able to find it again after like a year.
Yeah.
Like ever again.
Oh yeah, like with Lindsay Ellis.
Yeah, or like all kinds of people, right? They're like just anytime they get a little pushback online, and then it's like, this is so egregious. This is my personality now. I'm going to bring this up as often as I can so that you never forget. But it's like, the internet's not only does the internet actually forget, people think it doesn't, but it does. But also, like, it's a difficult to use archive.
Yeah, it's like exceedingly hard.
Cell phone out of like a sea of conservative cell phones.
Yeah, they got to turn it into their own personal brand. Which makes sure that it stays in the public consciousness. Well, anyway. Well, disappointing on the visual humor.
Sorry for our listeners.
I'll either find it or not. Just saying it out loud is what I bring into my phone.
You can give away the spoiler. You can spoil it for me and tell me what the twist and the tail is.
They're at one of those monkey parks, and there's a person with like a lot of different pockets.
Uh-huh.
And the monkey, like, first, like, goes through a couple of their pockets, like, pulls out, like, their wallet and pulls out their passport.
And like,
pulls
looks out some, in the like, wallet.
Looks and in the
like,
wallet, pulls out all the cards.
The passport's, like, in a pocketbook. It looks inside the pocketbook, like, looking at
it. Like, pulls out the phone, takes cards. The case off the phone, is, like, really looking and for like, something.
Getting increasingly more monkey frustrated.
Yeah, like. And then it reaches into her, like, breast pocket and pulls out a fucking banana and is like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, wow. The monkey, like,
I knew it.
I'm glad it worked out. Does the monkey end up eating it or running away, or does the woman confiscate it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a happy ending. Did you see the video recently of an elephant getting a woman's hat, putting it in their mouth, and then putting it back like a little joke? Yeah. You're like, is your hat back?
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's good.
And she's all like, I just bought that hat.
Yeah, that's right.
You're like, okay.
I'm into animals playing jokes like that.
Yeah.
There's an animal playing a joke. There's an animal playing pranks on humans in my dissertation.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like a pretty significant portion of chapter 2.
Tell a story.
Yeah, tell a story.
There's, when I was in the Gobi, there's like in the spring, it's customary to like keep mother camels and the new calves close to where people live. And then the bull camels, you just send them away. You just send them away for like weeks at a time. Mm-hmm. And then you have like, you know, the teenage son of the family go ride out into the desert and check on the bull camels every once in a while. But they're like pretty self-sustaining. So you don't have to worry about them as much. The mother camels, you keep close by with the calves to make sure that the calves can survive the freezing sub-zero spring. Mm-hmm. And so during the day, the mother camels go out into the desert and they eat their fodder and whatever. And the calves stay close, like they stay like roped up on stakes so that they can't like wander off and get eaten by like wolves or an eagle or something.
Right.
And there's this one calf at the encampment where I was staying who would like do things like, the first time he did it, I was like hanging out with my friend whose camel it was. And I just noticed that it looked like it was like laying down on the ground, like really still. And it had been for like a little while. And I told my friend, like, do you think there's something wrong with the calf? And he said like, okay, I think it's okay, but I'll go check it out. And he went up to it and it hadn't moved like all in like a half hour. Mm. They were watching it. And he went up to it and was like, it was all tangled up in its ropes. And so he's trying to get the thing untangled, get the calf untangled. And in order to do that, he had to like undo the stake. But as soon as he got the stake up, the camel just shot out from the tangle and just started like running,
and was like
running, doing circles around the camp. And it was like literally like skipping and like making this kind of laughing noise. It was kind of like honking noise, like, and it was like skipping around and hopping and like looking back. And it didn't like run off. It just went around and around. It went circles around this guy. And from that day on, it would do something like that like every day. Like, wow. It would get its leg caught in such a way where he'd have to go over and like undo it, or else in order to keep it from like breaking its leg or something. Uh-huh. And then as soon as he would touch the rope, then the camel calf would just like run off. And like around dusk every day, it would cry and cry and cry and cry. It's really dramatic. And it did all the, like, it played dead a lot, and it would like slip its reins all the time. It figured out how to untie its knots one day, and but it would never run off. It just wanted to play jokes.
Oh, wow.
Derived a lot of enjoyment.
A camel was a famously smart animal.
Yeah.
They're like emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
I don't know if they like are good at solving problems.
Right.
Yeah, to talk about them as being like having really similar to human like emotions, like they're really considered like really sensitive.
Huh. And I've seen camels get tickled and they go, ah!
Oh, that's well, and that's the whole in the Gobi, like the whole thing is like you play the traditional fiddle for a mother camel if she's rejected her child, and then like she'll be moved by the song to the point of crying real tears. And that's the moment when you reunite the child with the mother, or unite an orphan with a new mother. That's what one of the chapters of my dissertation is about.
Oh, wow. And so the music.
Camels like love the fiddle and they cry, and you can put a fiddle on the hump of a camel and it's high enough that if you face it perpendicular to the wind, then the wind will like vibrate the strings and they'll cry.
Wow.
And that's all considered to be like demonstrating the emotional sensitivity.
My dog is emotionally moved by the sound of sirens because it will harmonize with he will harmonize with sirens,
yeah.
Which I find cute. I think it's at a very different emotional register to what you're talking about, Kit, but I'd like to think there's a family resemblance across them.
Yeah, I think so.
When I was a kid, my dad used to work at this lab in Cape Cod, and they had these like little snails, these like periwinkle snails that lived on the rocks, like by the beach. And if you sang happy birthday to them in a really breathy voice, they would like slowly come out of their shell, like no other song. And you had to sing in this really like happy birthday, like that. Oh. And they would like.
Really?
Yeah.
They're like the Marilyn Monroe tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, far out.
Yeah.
Well, on the topic of things playing jokes on us And Ahsan, I wanted to ask you about what you think about the fact that we talk about years as being bad things. Because I was thinking about this, this end of year episode, this festive season kind of episode. And so I was thinking about New Year's, and I was thinking about the 2020 recap thing, like 2020 Must Die or something that came out on Netflix last year. And there's a new one this year before the year is even over. And I think it was the first day of 2021 that 2020 Must Die came out. And I just think about how it's just common parlance to be like, fuck 2020, fuck 2021, 2022 means 2028, as well, all of this stuff. And we've just we get angry at years now. And I think there's a really interesting, weird, and kind of sad thing that's happened to our historical consciousness, that we don't get mad at people or entities or corporations or things, and we get mad at the passage or specific years.
Yeah, I feel like people feel betrayed by 2021 because all that that hoopla, this is going to be a better year, was all built up.
And then it wasn't.
And have you noticed there is a very low amount of looking forward to 2022 things?
Yeah.
Because usually even simply the top haircuts of 2022 or whatever, I've seen almost none of that.
Yeah.
Go to the drugstore, we were at the drugstore
the other day. Right.
And they have the little aisle that's the New Year's aisle, or the grocery store have the New Year's aisle end kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And usually it's you have the novelty sunglasses that say 2020 on it, mm-hmm. or you have, some other kinds of things
little
that
crowns
are branded
say
with the next year.
Yeah.
There was no year on any of these.
They were all just
Happy
New
Year.
End of year, next year, new year.
Wow.
Indication of what that year would be.
Yeah. We're not doing years anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to acknowledge that one is ending, and we're not going to think about
the problem that we're enduring is the system of years.
That's how strange.
Wait, did you hear about that place? Was it in Norway? Is the island in Norway that's going to abolish time?
Really?
Yeah. It's one of those islands where it's day all day part of the year and night all day for the other part of the year. And they were let's not do time anymore.
Right, let's get out of this system because it's causing lots of harm.
Clearly not.
It's not working for us anymore.
This does not reflect how we spend our time, I guess.
Yeah.
No, more power to them. No, but you're right. I hadn't thought about that. But looking forward to things, normally this is the time of year where there's a whole bunch of we're looking forward to these releases, from particular musicians. And I saw some people maybe talking about speculating that Kendrick Lamar might release an album next year or something. Mm-hmm. But other than that, there's been very little kind of people promising an album coming soon or people expecting an album coming soon, and then definitely nothing in the way of bands reuniting for a tour or anything. So it's really, this would be one of the least celebratory year ends I would definitely in my life. Sorry,
it feels we don't want to jinx it, we jinxed it last time, we don't want to jinx it this time, so we're just not going to talk about it.
Right.
And kind of in that vein of what both of y'all are talking about is I feel like there's been a lot more surprise releases of stuff lately. And I kind of feel like it's the same thing where it's not going to jinx it, not going to try to plan anything, but I'm going to slip in a quick little reunion album here.
Right.
We weren't talking about it in case one of us caught COVID. Also, I think we're ending the year with everyone has COVID now. And it's just kind of not a lot of shit to not look forward to.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
It really sucks. But I'm all out of emotions now.
I know. I don't. Not that I don't care. I just don't feel as much feeling as I used to.
Yeah.
You know that Nick Cave song, Babe, I'm on Fire? It's 15 minutes long, and he's it's mother says it, father says it, everyone at the party, babe, I'm on fire. Mm-hmm. And he just lists a bunch of shit, and that's kind of the way it is, I feel like, right now in COVID. It's our neighbor has it, downstairs neighbors have it, our friend has it, the deer have it in the woods.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, right? Okay. And you still have not had it, both of you?
Bears? The Tigers. Tigers
in the zoo. The Tigers have had it.
The Cleveland Zoo had it? Or was it Pittsburgh?
It's either Cleveland or Pittsburgh.
The two warring zoos in the Midwest, Cleveland and Pittsburgh. And one of them had COVID tigers.
Does that mean they won or they lost?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Oh, man. Well, should we talk about our songs or should we talk about...
Yeah, we could also just talk about the... We could do whatever we want. It's our podcast.
Yeah, that's true. We don't owe these pricks anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Just because we have a passport in our pocket doesn't mean the monkey gets it.
Yeah, exactly.
Monkey does get it, though, yeah.
What's the best Christmas song? Because I started thinking about best Christmas songs. I thought Fairy Tale of New York, which I think is an incredible song. And so that was on my mind for a bit. And then, what's the one by Darlene Love that was produced by Phil Spector? Maybe Please Come Home.
Maybe Please Come Home.
That's such a good song.
I love it so much until the very end when Phil Spector comes on.
Hello, this is Phil Spector. It is so difficult at this time to say words that would express my feelings about the album to which you have just listened. An album that has been in the planning for many, many months.
He has a murderer voice.
Yeah.
He does, right? I remember when I used to work at a music store at Christmas time, we'd have to put Christmas albums on. I always put that one on. And at the end, just be like, oh man, like lucky not many people know exactly what this guy's about.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, that's a fucking real counter argument against cancel culture, is that he put a whole track at the end of that album talking about how, with his creepy voice, while there are allegations about him,
he killed somebody way later.
Yeah, it was later, but he was like famous. Like, I remember when he recorded End of the Century with the Ramones. The Ramones like produced an album with him, like their fourth or whatever. He was pulling guns on them in the studio and forcing them to keep doing like, you know, up to like 70 takes so that he could kind of consolidate it all into the wall of sound. And he was pulling guns on them and making them continue working for like days on end. Like, so yeah, people knew, but maybe he hadn't killed someone yet.
Yeah.
Imagine being held at gunpoint and having to record Blitzkrieg Bop or something like that.
Just sadly, hi ho, let's go.
Do Rock and Roll High School again. You keep doing Rock and Roll High School until I say stop. That's fucked up. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Oh, but it's a very, very good Christmas album.
That's great.
We tried to find it on vinyl this year.
Mm.
It wasn't cheap, which is crazy.
Mm. Yeah. I actually asked my dad, because I was having trouble finding a Christmas song, and I asked him what his favorite Christmas song was. I feel like, you know.
Because this is a podcast about dads.
Yes. But he didn't answer in the way that I wanted.
Well, how did he answer?
Dad, I guess. I always liked Silent Night. At least it was back when I was nominally Jesus loving, or no, Jesus believing, and then a winky face.
What do you do?
What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
But that's not helpful, Dad.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait for down the line having our kid ask me that question, because I'm gonna say that fucking that song from Merry Christmas, Little Mama, where he's like, Jesus, let's do it for the baby, because Jesus was a baby.
Oh, I don't know this one. What is this?
Like, no, between that, the album fucking rocks. Like, between that and I'm Your Santa, mm-hmm. Let Me Be Your Santa.
Oh.
I'll Make Your Christmas, Babe, Turn Your Fireplace On. And it's like, what?
Oh, this is a very horny Christmas album.
I didn't want that.
What the fuck is this? I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's Jeremiah. and fuck, it's gonna kill me that I can't remember his name. Chance the Rapper.
Oh.
They did two Juke Christmas albums, like in the mid 2000s. Juke is like a Chicago area style of like kind of R&B
right.
in the 90s. And so they brought it back for a couple albums with Christmas themed songs, and it's really funny.
Okay.
It's and it's like very Christmassy.
Super Christmassy.
Huh.
There we go. Degree. But yeah, it's called Merry Christmas, Little Mama. And it's got some, I think, fucking classics.
Okay.
I'm your Santa, but also let's do it for the baby.
Let's do it. Be so much stronger. Come on, baby. Jesus was a baby. Let's do it for the baby, the baby, the bro.
Oh, baby.
Well, I have to put it into the playlist. Huh?
Yeah.
Christmas baby. That's a Christmas baby on the toilet. I like. Let's do it for the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the best judge.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, put that on our Spotify playlist, and also just plugging our Spotify playlist of all the songs that we've talked about. But yeah, I would like to hear it.
We were listening to it in the car the other day. It's a very chaotic playlist.
Yeah, the playlist.
I put it on as well.
The playlist goes really fucking haywire because it's got the fucking Movement One of the New World Symphony, right?
Yeah, because I couldn't find the remix, so I just put WAP and the New World Symphony on there separately.
And it just goes, like, if you're not shuffling it, it just goes one after the other. And it's, like, pretty chaotic. And then there's, like, some, at least one metal song on there.
That, uh-huh. The best suggestions, though.
Yeah, suggestions
a lot of
are...
my suggestions are solid.
I don't know how the algorithm would cope with it, because I can see it as just being, like, just a very straightforward representation of what it's like talking to both of you. Like, we got, like, your classic rock and your country, then all of a sudden just, like, real left field, like, Mongolian pop from the 90s or, you know, something like that. And I can follow it based on, because I know how, the way that you talk and the way you think and stuff, but I have no idea how an algorithm would try to manage that, like, how they would form, you know, how, like, sometimes you get suggestions that are, like, consolidating the various musical genres you listen to into, like, like, I don't know, illuminations. It'll just have some kind of like word that becomes a concept, and it like gathers together like broody music that's vaguely electronic but also kind of like beat driven, say just in general. I wonder what genre would be invented to kind of consolidate all of these different feelings.
If it's one word, then we would hope that the word is nostalgia, right? Because we're a nostalgia-based podcast.
That's true. Yeah, that would be the word that we'd be aiming for.
That's like, if we don't hit that.
That was one of my Austin. Words on the end of year wrap up was nostalgic. Was one of my.
Oh yeah?
Well, yeah.
I can't remember what mine said.
It was like nostalgic and shallow. Like the two.
Shallow?
No, not really. But if I were to describe my own.
Okay.
My Spotify was like my end of year Spotify, like words or whatever was like. Like they're really funny because it was like outlaw and fucking rule breaker, but then my top song was like a sad 90s pop country song. It was like, I don't know if this is really outlaw or rule breaker. It's just like a guy like talking about his ex-wife.
One song was again Night Moves, which I've come to love completely unironically. Over and over again.
It's an absolute cracker of a song, and I want to make sure the listener realizes that we have a deep affection for that song. For Nocturnal Movements, for Night Moves, for what was the word? Nocturnal something? Nocturnal Glories.
Oh, it's
what was it? Emma's?
Come on, we got it. I got it. I'm on it.
She's searching
Nocturnal Grandeur.
Yes. The extremely unironic appreciation of all of that. Have you ever heard the song How to Make Gravy by Paul Kelly?
Who's gonna make the gravy now? I bet it won't taste the same. Just that flour, salt, a little red wine. Don't forget a dollop of tomato sauce.
Okay, it's an Australian song. It's like the most Australian Christmas song, I would say. And it's a really, really beautiful song. I really love it. And I chose it. And then I looked at the comment section and it just like didn't work. There was like lots. It was just like really, really nice. And people just kind of saying Merry Christmas. And it's like the song is about a guy. It's written from the perspective of a guy who's in jail for Christmas. And he's kind of apologizing for not being there. And he's also giving a recipe for gravy, and like saying that he's worried about ruining Christmas because he's not going to be there. He's not going to be able to make the gravy. And he's kind of apologizing through this song and also giving the recipe for gravy. And so in Australia, we often call Christmas Gravy Day. And it's a really, really nice song. And I have one comment here just to kind of illustrate how nice this comment section was and how thoughtful it was. And, you know, it was so thoughtful that I just really couldn't choose it. But this person posted, "Who else in this jaded world could make a universally loved hit about those banged up at Christmas? Masterful songmanship and true sentiment that hits home because it looks through the other's eyes. Of course, there are true acrobats through and through, but most of them inside have found themselves victim of circumstance and the system. Most would be better off with their people doing something useful. Besides prisoners in the criminal justice system, my thoughts go to those in the aged care system, many of whom, despite their best intentions, face similar conditions. I reckon they'd have a gravy recipe to share." How nice is that?
Pretty
very
sweet.
Nice. It's real sweet.
And it really traces the, like, the whole, it's very holistic.
Yeah.
Right? There's some abolitionist kind of thing in there, and there's a little Foucault in there.
Mm-hmm. And so I just couldn't do that section. And so I just wanted to make sure that we get that song on the list as well, How to Make Gravy by Paul Kelly. Absolute doozy. Too much of a doozy to be included in this podcast, which kind of tends toward the nostalgic and the kind of the pieces of shit a little bit more.
Can I ask what gravy's like for y'all?
I think it's pretty similar to what I have tried here. But it's typically a lot darker looking than what I've seen in the United States or Canada. And it has like red wine in it. And I don't know, lots of more like kind of like rosemary and things like that. So it's kind of like, I don't know. It can kind of be, I don't know, it's kind of like a lot thicker and not as, I don't know how to describe it, but just like, it feels like a meal unto itself. Like it has like a whole range of flavors rather than something you add to like just stuff. But it's also something we just like put on hot chips and make sandwiches out of all the time as well. Mm. What's it like here, like in your experience?
Well, we have all kinds of gravies. Mm-hmm. Do y'all have red eye gravy?
What's that?
It can be made a lot of things, but the core elements of it that make red eye gravy are like coffee grounds and ham drippings.
Huh.
And it makes it like, you know.
Here we have our ham reference for the.
Yeah, well, we always gonna do it.
We'll get back to it.
A Christmas ham for you. And you put it on country ham or something, and it's just like kind of a classic diner.
Great.
I don't know if it's Americana or if it's Southern.
I've never had.
I can never tell because I thought country ham was like Americana, but Jess had not had it until she came to North Carolina.
Huh.
No, I thought ham was gross and kind of like just like wet, like bland, but like gelatinous pork product. Like it's not a centerpiece of the table.
Mm.
But then country ham is very delicious.
But is it hot? Like you're saying, like, because ham is only cold in Australia, never served with anything like
hot ham, like a big, like a lump of
hot ham water.
It's like a cured salted ham, so it's like kind of tough and it's really salty. And then you put it on like a biscuit or something hot. Uh-huh. And then
you guys fry it too, right?
Yeah, you fry it.
Huh.
So you fry it up, you put it on a biscuit, and you put a little red eye gravy on there.
Oh, wow. I'd be keen on trying red eye gravy.
But then there's the gravy that's just roux.
Yeah, that's like if you said like gravy, like American gravy, that's what I would think of. Is that we have is like the white gravy that we have, which is basically a roux.
Okay. And what goes on poutine? What type of gravy is that?
I think it's brown gravy, right?
Brown gravy, I think. I mean, I don't know shit about poutine, but I think it is. And the brown gravy is like.
I think I remember my American grandmother made gravy. She used like the guts of the chicken to make it.
Make the brown gravy.
But we didn't eat it that much, so I don't know.
And then like your like biscuits and gravy is usually going to be like a roux with a sausage base.
Huh.
Pork sausage
base. That's the one that I've had, yeah. Sorry.
And then Italians say gravy is, or Italian-Americans say gravy is just like tomato sauce.
Yeah, and then also like if you get into fucking around where we're at, right now, like in Ohio and like a little bit south in like West Virginia, they call something sauce. I think called chili sauce.
Yeah, chili.
They call that sauce.
Huh.
That sauce. Okay. So you,
an Eddie.
America is kind of a United States has got like a really complicated like viscous foods. There's a lot of granularity to it. But I would think if somebody was like, what's American gravy? To me, I would be like, it's like the southeastern U.S. I would say the white. I would say the roux. This is the biscuits and gravy.
Uh-huh.
Little chunks of sausage and a white dairy base.
Right. Okay. And is that a Christmas meal?
Not really. No. It's like a side.
Yeah, it's not.
It's a sauce. It's not a central thing.
Yeah, and I don't know if I would say that any of the gravies, like brown gravy on Thanksgiving, is a traditional meal with mashed potatoes. But I don't know if there's like any gravy in it. Although I don't know, a lot of Americans eat ham for Christmas.
Hmm.
Christmas. So maybe you have gravy with that. I grew up in a vegan household, so all of our holidays had vegan meals, and I just ate Southern food outside of the home.
Oh, really? I didn't realize. Okay. Well, this is my first time in the United States for Christmas. Normally, I've been in Australia or Mexico, and so this is my first time like getting to see all the Christmas meals that people eat and stuff. And I didn't really try anything. I just cooked my own stuff because it was all meat. But some strong statements being made on the table, from what I could see. But Australia is so hot that like nobody really eats like roasts or anything like that. Like we just eat like seafood and salads and things, and ham, but like cold ham.
We had seafood.
We did, yeah.
You had a seafood Christmas?
Yeah. So, like, Czechs, we eat our main meal on Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you can't eat any meat because it's a fasting day. So, you eat, like, a lot of fish. But the Czech fish soup is not particularly something that I enjoy. So,
and we didn't have a bathtub to put the carp in.
Yeah, there's no bathtub to, like, beat the carp to death.
Bash the
instead I made you wouldn't have had Chipino. It's like a San Francisco, like you just gather all the bits of all the fish that's left on the pier and then you make
and it's good.
I think it's good. Yeah, I don't know, these last two Christmases have been weird because of
the whole thing,
the situation.
All right, should we talk about the songs then?
Yeah, let's talk about songs.
I talked about what song I didn't choose, but you want me to jump into the song I did choose?
Yeah.
Well, I chose a song. I was kind of running around looking at a whole bunch of different ones. And then I remembered, like, I really like New Year's Eve. I think it's like a really beautiful day. People get very kind of excited and pensive at the same time. And for me, like that's exactly where I sit emotionally. I think I'm generally a very excitable and very pensive person. So for me, I feel like this is a day where I can just kind of be kind of normal. And so I chose a song called In the New Year by The Walkman. We all know The Walkman.
Mm-hmm.
Rock band.
You got your
drums, you got your guitar, you got your bass, you got your singer. They're all the boys. I think they're from Brooklyn. Are they from Philadelphia? I don't know.
Yeah.
But they also have the organ, and so they have this kind of like really ramshackle, but I don't know, very sweet kind of barroom feeling to them. Anyway, their song In the New Year is one of my favorite songs, and growing up was one of my favorite songs. And every single New Year's, I get a message from a friend of mine, and we both love this song. And he used to live in Japan when I was living in Australia. Now I'm here and he's back in Australia. And so I get the messages from him at different times in relation to where we are in time zones. But invariably, he'll just send me a message with a link to the video, to the YouTube clip, and maybe like him, like a crying emoji or something like that, because he listens to it like, 11:30 or so every single New Year's. And so it's really, really sweet. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And so I chose it. That song, but it wasn't really a terrifically good comment section, so this is going to be pretty light, I'm afraid. What we had though, which was something I've never seen before, is a guy named Switcheroo Yu, who every single year for the last seems like 6 years has posted 2016 is going to be a good year, I just know it. 2018 is going to be a great year, I can just feel it. And every single year posts stuff like that, to the point that people will be like, where is Switcheroo? And so people were posting like, where are you at, Switcheroo? And then finally, when he posts it, he gets all these replies and being like, oh, I was waiting for you. You're like, you're later this year or something. It's like something about he's part of the ritual of the transition between years for people.
Oh,
he's like the bones, no bones dog.
Yeah.
We won't know what's a good year coming up.
And so we have, yeah, and then, and now people are getting mad at him because people are now mad at years and anyone that like is indicated trying to
imitate. Right, he's the year's handmaid.
Yeah, and so people were coming in and kind of posting like, look, I'm just saying now that the year is going to change. Let me say it before somebody says that next year is going to be better than this year because we can't be assured of that or anything like that. And people like fairly earnestly trying to avoid jinxing the coming year. That was a thing throughout. And so Switcheroo eventually, 2 months ago, posted, what are you guys talking about? I've literally never been wrong with one of my predictions. But seriously, the concept of the good year, in capital letters, transcends pandemics, presidents, and even personal loss. Life is beautiful. It always has been. And New Year's Day is the perfect opportunity to acknowledge and celebrate that, despite current events. So Switcheroo is really thinking hard about it. And I think that's a good attitude to take. And really, yeah, like, I think there's something really shitty about getting annoyed at years and not getting annoyed at, you know, like, legislators.
And it's, like, really fucking roundabout to be like, okay, instead of being mad at the people who are making my life hell, I'm going to be mad at the year because my life was hell in it. And then I'm going to get mad at a person who represents the year to me. He's like not related at all to what's going on.
Yeah. And then I'm going to intervene and say that the year is coming before the person traditionally says the year is coming so that maybe I can have some kind of say in how the future looks. Not like getting organized and getting angry with a bunch of people. You know what I mean? It's not going on a general strike. Just getting mad online again.
Yeah.
But
it's just the extent of a lot of.
But Rachel says New Year's Eves are so fucked up always. And that was the kind of last response to Switcheroo there.
Fair.
Five thumbs up. Matthew Snyder, 2 years ago, writes, when those drums kick in, it can't be a bad day. And then 1 year ago, oh, oof, when those drums kick in. Yeah, and so like he likes the drums every year. That's the hymn that indicated that the year is passing.
That's the new year.
That's when the new year begins. Because the song, you know the song In the New Year by The Walkmen? It's a really weird song. It's just like very straightforward guitar and then it has this really, really big chorus. But there's like just like this like just straight down strumming during the verse and it's just like very bland. But then the drums kick in and they're really nice drums. And so I can kind of understand getting excited as soon as you hear it because the chorus is really nice. Anyway, we have 9 years ago. This is like the only interesting thing that really happened in this comment section. So this is actually me already wrapping up. Tia Lowry says, this album has a lot of meaning to me. The first time I made love to the first boy I ever loved was to this album. It's been years since we ended things, but this song still has the ability to make me cry. I'll never stop listening to it, though. They're just too amazing. So Tia Lowry says that 9 years ago. And then 6 years ago, Zachariah Whitehurst comes on and says, I greatly appreciate my brother showing me this song. He now shows me this page and notices Tia's comment at the bottom of the page. What a beauty she still very much is. So what do you think? Do you think Zachariah and Tia were... Wait, like Zachariah was the guy that Tia's talking about? Because I subscribed to both of them on YouTube to see if I could see, because they both had like 2 or 3 subscribers each. And so I wanted to see if they were like following each other.
Just do a little private eye.
Doing a little bit of that. I searched both of their names. But it seems like Tia lives in, according to like that, you know how you can just like look up somebody's name? There's a website that has a whole bunch of information about them, like mylife.com or something like that. According to that, Tia lives in Florida and Zachariah lives in New Jersey. So it's not looking good for the two of them. It doesn't look like they're going to be rekindling that romance.
There's a pipeline between those two places.
Yeah, Florida and New Jersey are closer than you would think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Culturally.
Like a lot of New Yorkers retire to Florida or people from New Jersey retire to Florida. So there's a lot of like people who spend their summers with their grandparents in Florida.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a whole season of... the Jersey Shore in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
They go to Miami before they ever go to Italy.
There's like a whole half a season of Broad City that they play.
Okay, so maybe Tia lives down there. Zachariah was holidaying down there. They spent a few nice evenings next to this album, and now they think about each other. Well, I've still got hope for them.
Yeah, Summer Love.
Uh-huh. And this is really my last one because, and I went to several different versions of this song trying to consolidate everything. But I just, I kept kind of like striking not too much through the comment sections for New Year's Christmassy songs. And this one, it really has nothing to do with anything. Jason Fifi says, it only takes me one or two beers to get drunk. Sometimes it's the seventh, sometimes it's the eighth. And I thought that was pretty funny.
That's good. That's a good,
That's a good gag. But that's it for my comment section. What do you think? What do you rate this segment out of 10?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting because like, I also picked a New Year's one thinking that because on New Year's, like people get, like you said, like people like to reflect. And we like to find people reflecting. But I guess they just get it out of their system in person.
That's true.
And they're putting on.
Yeah. There wouldn't be a lot of people that are like, you know, at 10 minutes to midnight on YouTube, like typing a comment out or something like that, right?
Yeah, they'd be telling somebody there at their party or wherever they're at or their dog, like their thoughts about if you can still live a good life in your 50s or not and where you were when you found out your ex-wife was getting remarried. And they have people around who are like willing to hear that shit for like one day. So you don't have to put it online.
Well, that actually kind of reminds me. So I originally had chosen a New Year's song and I pivoted to a Christmas song. But in the very sort of brief comments of this New Year's song, which is ABBA, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Happy New Year, may we all have.
Like planning. So we have about 1 year ago we have who came here, and so okay, all of these are also in Russian or Vietnamese.
Oh, okay.
So they might be a little, there are like very few English comments in this thread. Because and this is what I experienced at least in Mongolia, is that like the Christmas celebration in post-socialist countries happens on New Year's.
Okay.
Like that's when Santa comes, and that's when you put up a tree, and that's when you like, you know, do all the lights and presents and things because it's a secular holiday.
Right,
and you do it at work.
And you do it at work, and you have very sexually charged New Year's parties at work, where everyone gets really drunk and inappropriate.
Okay.
But
like in Mongolia, there's like Mongolian New Year's, which is for your family,
right? And then, which is like the lunar New Year,
And then like Western New Year's. Christmas, but it's for work, and you have the party at work, and usually that's when people like flirt with their coworkers,
get horny,
and have affairs, and yeah.
Bloody hell!
I used to play this game at my workplace, mind you, where like a man would take an orange and he'd put it up his pant leg, and like if his female coworker would have to like push it all the way up his leg over, and then take it down the other pant leg.
Oh, extremely intimate.
Merry Christmas.
There was another game we had to play where we would say all the Mongolian vowels while like faking an orgasm. And of course they wanted me to do it because, you know, they wanted to hear me pronounce things wrong. Yeah.
Bloody hell.
And apparently it's like this in the rest of the post-socialist
world. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard anything like that.
It's a lot more of a friend. We're
more like a friend group than a workplace.
I don't know if things have changed, but when I was there, it was more like there weren't really rules as to like what's appropriate for a workplace.
Shit, okay. Yeah, and ABBA is one of the songs that gets played then?
Yes. And ABBA Happy New Year is one of those songs. Although reading the lyrics, it's an incredibly, incredibly depressing song, which I think is appropriate for a New Year's song.
Yeah, I think they should be a little bit depressed. And maybe this is why New Year's songs don't provoke such kind of reflection online, is that they're just so like self-evidently reflective that they don't seem to kind of like, you know, they don't attach themselves to different memories. They just like get super, super located. And so people can't do that kind of contextualizing that we're always seeing. Anyway,
yeah,
that's just me.
The interesting thing about this is that no one's really commented on this song for this coming New Year's. They're all for the last one. Right. So Dinkata AR translated says, "Who came here to cheer themselves up for the new year?" And then smiley face monkey covering its eyes. Oh. And then that is 1,400 likes.
Jesus.
So a lot of people.
Chew themselves up. Like that's the translation of what they're saying there. Chew themselves up. Wow.
This was posted in October. So then somebody. Okay, I'm going to have to read this. Yevilam Toye Bivayet Plojo says, "I see everyone in October has a new year mood. Smiley, 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 smiley." Then unnamed account says, "And the song is about how they want to die and then nothing will be better."
I do like the October thing because I'm a big fan of New Year's accelerationists. Like, I think we should start celebrating New Year's like as early or earlier than Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, start thinking about New Year's before Halloween.
Yeah.
Well, Opazia Mortis agrees with you and says, "I got a New Year mood at the beginning of November. I look forward to New Year very much."
Yeah. I'm always like halfway through, I'm like, I'm fucking sick of this.
Yeah.
94K19 says, "Yes, this year was not very successful." And then, okay, this is a mistranslation, but I like it anyway. Andre Vastilevich says, "Rather, this 2020 high axle year is over. We are waiting for 2021.
High axle?
High axle year, yeah.
Axle only got higher and higher.
Yeah.
I wonder, yeah, what could that possibly mean?
I don't know. This is translated from Vietnamese. It says, "You, two beautiful girls, will live in my heart." Oh, no, sorry, this is not translated. This is translated from Russian. Excuse me. Cheer Up says, "You two beautiful girls live and will live in my heart with your beautiful songs all my life. Prayer hands, waving hand, waving hand, waving hand. Live long, long and be happy. Russia loves you."
I can't place the lyrics to this song. Can you like sing a few?
It's,
or
like, it's like Happy New Year, Happy New Year, na 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 na. But actually, Eric Harutnayan has the lyrics right here.
Uh-huh.
"No more champagne and the fireworks that grew. Here we are, me and you, feeling lost and feeling blue. It's the end of the party and the morning seems so gray. So unlike yesterday, now's the time for us to say, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. May we all have a vision now and then of a world where every neighbor is a friend. Happy New Year, Happy New Year. May we all have our hopes, our will to try. If we don't, we might as well lay down and die, you and I."
Wow, it is grim, huh?
Yes. And one more. "Sometimes I see how the brave new world arrives, and I see how it thrives in the ashes of our lives. Oh yes, man is a fool, and he thinks he'll be okay, dragging on feet of clay, never knowing he's astray, keeps on going anyway."
This is kind of like that the sense that that you can get angry at years, right? Like that history is passing and it's like completely independent. There's none of the "Next year is going to be a better year. I'm going to, you know, resolve myself to do the X, Y, and Z, and it's all going to be better." You know, like, this is like, you're going to wake up, like, you know, and nothing will have changed, and you don't have the possibility of changing anything, and you need to be okay with that type of meaninglessness. Ugh.
You know what it is? It's "Kazhdy den ye horshy a horshy," which is a Czech saying, "Every day is getting worse and worse."
Whoa. It is like that.
Yeah. Anyway, I was happy New Year.
I'm glad we settled on New Year's, because I have a New Year's one too. We just have a New Year's episode.
Yeah.
The 9th of December.
Yeah.
Why didn't we choose Christmas songs? I guess we're after Christmas now. We're all kind of Christmased out.
We're post-socialist Christmas today.
Yeah, we're kind of thinking our thoughts and getting into the reflective mood that you need to get into. For like the several days in between Christmas and New Year's.
It's kind of a dead period. It's a weird limbo. I'm glad we talked about ABBA. ABBA, like, they're just one of the best bands of all time. And I don't think they get... Well, like, they're releasing new music. I've just released new music, right? So I guess maybe they are back in the attention again. But holy shit. Like, that's a band... They're kind of like Elton John or someone like that. Somebody that you know is, like, really, really good. Like, really great songwriters. And then you put on, a best of or something. You're just like, fucking hell. Like, there are so many, like, straight up, like, world-changing bangers back-to-back here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Sasha loves you.
Yeah. Sorry, that was it. That's all I wanted to say. It's
You're
just
right,
like
I
really like ABBA. Like, I just think they're so good.
I do too.
If It Wasn't for the Night, that song. Do you know that one? Holy smokes. I remember messaging John Nyquist last year because I'd listened to that song. I'd ridden the entire way from the north to the south of Mexico City because I had to do something in the south of the city. So I'd ridden like 20 kilometers on my bike and I only listened to that song. I put it on Spotify. I put it on repeat. And for like 50 minutes or so straight on Insurgentes, like weaving in and out of the traffic on my little bike, just that song back to back. And it was such a good afternoon.
Well, I'm definitely going to listen to that when we're done.
Yeah. Well, I've got like I've got Papa here. I've got the grandpa of New Year's songs.
Mm-hmm.
The English speaking world. Even though it's in Scots, but it is still one of the English speaking world's favorites. Should old acquaintance be forgot and ne'er brought to mind?
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind?
This is, I actually think, unironically, Auld Lang Syne is like maybe my favorite song. It's easy to learn how to play. Mm-hmm. So it's the one thing I know on most instruments, the only thing I know how to play on piano.
I think I've even learned it on piano too.
Yeah, it's easy to play, but it's still moody and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it appeals to my Scottish heritage by being really depressed and lonely, even in a group of people. Fucking rocks.
Yeah. And Tom Waits, his song, like New Year's Eve or something like that, like on one of his, maybe even his last album, he's got a lot of like New Year's theme songs, but he even weaves in some of the lyrics in his song New Year's Eve. And then in the end, he just like leans into it and starts singing. And so good.
Let me tell you, okay, here's a tragic comment. This is a top comment on one of these videos of Auld Lang Syne. Please, God, let the new year be a good one for us all, ... Now you think that's sad enough. This is from 1 year ago. There are not, as just said about the ABBA video, there are not any comments less than a full year old on this video. No one is looking forward to 2022.
I didn't really pay attention. I'm just looking to my screenshots here. And apart from Switcheroo saying 2020 is going to be magical, he didn't say anything about 2021. And there's a lot of people responding to him now angrily because he was wrong online. And so they're like, oh, good work, man. Like, oh, this hasn't aged well or anything like that. But aside from telling somebody that they're wrong, there's no like new posts or anything like that. So yeah, like this is a big empty space. New Year's oriented songs, recent reflections on them.
Yeah.
That's okay. Weird.
Yeah,
we've stumbled across something. More and more, I'm convinced that there is we're doing very sophisticated analyses. We're producing an archive, and at some point, maybe we have to do something with it. But or like somebody might do something with it one day.
Well, like what? What would we do with it? We're already making a podcast out of it.
There's something about historical consciousness or like public reckoning, in the passage of history, over the passage of history. I don't know. There's stuff happening. I don't know. I just keep seeing moments in which, it becomes manifestly clear that we've been really smart here. And we're generally just talking about like pissing our pants. But there's some smart stuff happening.
That's true. Well, maybe we should make a chapbook, make a zine. That's just the comments kind of put together in themes.
Yeah.
Then we'll just leave the piss in our pants and getting microchip to the foreword and afterword.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got somebody on here this is me commenting through the voice.
I think you say that just about every week, but yeah, let's hear this week's.
Ah, the land of my ancestors. Just love the pipes. I get chills whenever I hear them. May this year 2021 bring all nations peace. God bless. Bless one and all. And that's it.
That's very good. I like the land of my ancestors. that's better.
That's how I start all my comments. Like, the land of my ancestors.
Now that I'm relaxed in the land of my ancestors, let me reflect for you.
Here's one for all of us, though. All of us here at Who Else Is Listening Pod. So beautiful. Just did our own podcast on the origins of our celebrations where we are in America. We have strong Scottish roots here, and we told them about Rabbi Burns's rendition of this beautiful poem and song. I mean, Robert Burns? Many blessings for the new year. Happy Hogmanay!
That seems to touch a few things that we talk about, especially your tendency to honk, which I often edit out, but sometimes have no choice but to keep in. But you honk regularly, both of you. And you've already honked in this episode, and I have to keep it in because you're talking about the camel laughing and doing little jokes.
That's true.
You snuck in a honk there. You sneaky prick.
That's a necessary honk.
Nothing like sneaking in a honk in the land of your ancestors. I'm free to honk as my ancestors once honked.
Speaking of this ancestor stuff, I saw a post that I thought was really funny that was like, in Irish Gaelic, the word for December is like month of Christmas, and it's like, see how much fun it is to be Irish? Mm. And somebody responded with the Scottish Gaelic word for December is Andulach, which means the darkness. land of
what's your ancestral land?
My ancestral lands? I say sometimes that if I were from the United States, I'd be Irish because in Australia we don't really identify with ancestors like that much, but like because Australia was settled by convicts, so my great-great-great-grandfather was a guy named John Francis Summers, who was an Irish guy who stole a horse from a British guy and got deported to Australia and was a convict for however many years and then until they let all the convicts free. So I guess like technically Ireland and then some kind of French, and then we completely lose track of my mother's father's line. We don't know anything about that, but there's weird adoption stuff happening there. But yeah, I guess Irish at some point. It's not too interesting, and I don't know too much except for John Francis Summers. In my toilet, the toilet at my parents' place, there was a list of all the people that were convicts and deported to Australia to be in the penal colony there. And there's a big proud circle around John Francis Summers because my dad was super happy. He did a whole bunch of research trying to work out if that was actually the guy. Found out it was the guy, bought the thing, put it on the toilet, the visitor's toilet, circled it so that everyone knew that we were, because some people in Australia like to be like, wow, we came here with the first fleet, blah, blah, blah. And it turns out they were from like a family of wardens or something like that. Our prime minister is one of them who's like, yeah, we've been here since the beginning. And, you know, like we toughed it out. And his dad was like, it's like great, 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 great grandfather was a police officer. And so he's like, man, you can't really be claiming that. And so my dad was very careful that everyone knew that when they were visiting our place.
Oh, yeah. That fucking rocks.
Old horse thief Summers, they used to call him.
I think I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure one of the dudes in Hunter 2's first name means horse thief. It's not because it's not his real first name. He stole a horse, and they started calling him horse thief. I think it's one of the guys. It might be one of those guys, or maybe his grandpa stole a horse.
Yeah, right.
Horse thievery, I think horse thievery is good outlaw business. That's classic outlaw shit.
Hell yeah. And not only that, it's just like logistically smart. Like if you're up to a crime, if you're stealing several bullion of gold, it's going to weigh you down. You're going to be slow. You steal the horse and you get away from the crime scene faster.
And what's he going to face you with?
Yeah, right? Doesn't have anything anymore.
and chasing you on foot like a dumbass.
Yeah, it's very, very smart criminal decision making, I think.
I'm gonna hit you with one more.
Okay.
Because I had a good one in here. Oh yes. I've got two more actually. These are for us. Out of appreciation of the song, I've gone and liked every comment on the video.
Hmm.
Thank you, James Crean, the uploader of this version of the song, for uploading and translating this. Translating it from Scots to English. And thank you, Sabine Ehrensberger, the singer, for singing it. I personally listen to this song and wake up in the morning. It does the same thing as a hug.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, but imagine this person that listens to Auld Lang Syne
every morning.
Yeah.
And I'm very close to that because I regularly sing like bits and phrases of it to myself when I'm like doing dishes or something.
Mm.
Especially, like, I'm always doing like, we two have paddled in the broad from morning sun till dine. I'll just do that part at random parts throughout the day. Mm-hmm. I'm very close to that. And even I think that this is funny. I listen to this song every day. Old acquaintance every day.
No, yeah. That's too much.
Energy for that. That's why I'm an ambivert.
We're approaching dangerous levels of reflection.
That's true, yeah.
It's definitely too much.
Every once in a while, old acquaintance should just be forgot for like a day or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not without incident.
Yeah, you don't have to like litigate forgotten.
Yeah.
It can just slip your mind while you're fucking.
And you can do it whenever you like. You don't have to be like, oh man, I want to forget this guy, but it's August and I'm stuck with him for 4 more months. You know what I mean? Just like, just let him go.
October, wow, yeah. Lots of people forgetting their old acquaintances.
Yeah, this is people, all of these accelerationists like you, kid. This is why you're an accelerationist. You're singing this song to yourself daily. Then of course you want the year to end sooner so that you can get rid of these people from your life. It's fucked up.
That's me. I'm fucking... I'm earth sign by water sign. That's how I do it.
Is this why you didn't respond to my Christmas message?
Maybe.
Because I was being forgotten and never brought to mind?
We haven't determined whether or not old acquaintance should be forgot yet or not. You're not old acquaintance, though.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not really.
We talk, like, if we video chat, like, two times a month, then you're not old acquaintance.
Yeah, that's true.
Acquaintance is like... There was a guy that I wanted to invite to our wedding because he invited me to his wedding, but he invited me as a plus one.
Mm.
And now, but he's married because I was at his wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, well, I can't invite him as a plus one because that means that I have to invite his wife, who I don't really know. And then I did anyway,
mm-hmm.
but our invitation got lost in the mail. That's old acquaintance.
Huh.
Because the other thing is, I also have a lot of people who I forgot that never get to old acquaintance mode. Usually, if I've got an acquaintance, they didn't get to old.
Right. Because this is canon that you are happy to, you will just reach a point in which you just obliterate all knowledge of a person.
I'm the sexy villain from that Waylon song about I'm a forgetter, you know, I just forget.
Zoop.
Basically, in my life, I'm a sexy villain. That's what Spotify said. Sexy villain from a Waylon song. I got one more for you here, though. And this is, all of these people are just doing our thing. Like, all these people are going through and liking comments, and reading out comments, and fucking having podcasts. They're totally biting our style, but it's like a full year ago.
Fuck.
My favorite thing to do in the early hours of the new year is to look for this particular version of Auld Lang Syne and read the comments, because it's always refreshing with people sharing, looking forward to the new year with renewed hope, wishing everyone an amazing 2021.
Oh, well, that's recent. I was expecting that you to say like a 2016 or something like that. I was expecting it to be more dated.
2021 is like the last one, I feel like, in a lot of these.
When will be the next true New Year's?
24?
Yeah.
You think 24?
Probably be over by 24.
Not
that good. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe 23. Maybe 22 to 23 will be a good one. Like, 22 will be bad. So 23 has the potential to, like, be good. We might not have another spike in next December.
Mm.
In which case people will be like, let's fucking do it. But I'm playing it safe this time.
Yeah. I think it's contingent. Like, I think if we have a really bad year, then it won't be a good New Year's, because I don't think anyone has the hope that the tides of history will be turned, like, in any kind of meaningful way. Like, I think that's what you're both saying, like, last year, is that it was bad, and we're like, okay, this is the year that, like, salvages everything. I don't think that we collectively have that hope of being salvaged. And so it would have to be a year of, like, a more kind of, like, ambivalence or something like that, that would ultimately yield a true New Year's. It wouldn't be a sense of overcoming or anything.
So you're saying, like, okay, we've been on this kind of up and down, mm-hmm. where we thought, like, we had, like, a lot of hope going into, like, a couple of New Year's past, not mm-hmm. just with the pandemic, but like this is going to be it. We're going to have healthcare in this country.
Mm.
Or the pandemic's going to end, whatever. And then now we've had some pretty big disappointments. So we kind of have to hit that dead, no hope zone for long enough that small things become worth looking forward to again.
Yeah.
We'll go back on and be like, this is going to be my year. I'm going to get a better job or something.
Yeah. And so I think it's going to be something more long term, like 24, 25, something like that. Because it requires, yeah, not just like things to level themselves out, but people to become like bored with that leveling out, and start to imagine things in the future from that leveled place.
Regardless, Russia is still going to love ABBA.
Yeah.
Some hell or high water.
They're like, can do no wrong.
Well, Russia is not wrong there. ABBA, fuck, man, they are so good. And also The Killers. That's a band that really strikes me, who's just like, holy shit, they have so many good pop songs. Like, really good. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with this? This is a little bit of an unfashionable decision, opinion, I think.
I have a lot of unfashionable opinions about music, and this is also one I agree.
You have this too? Okay, this is fantastic.
A Shallow tag on Spotify.
That's how you end it.
Shallow if you listen to a single Killer song.
I had Brave, I think. I think it, because it's in Spanish. It was Valiente. I'm pretty sure I had that. And I have no idea why I earned Brave.
Brave is kind of like a backhanded compliment, I feel like, when it comes to music choices.
It's like a woman that poses in her bathing suit.
And
they're like, wow, that's very brave.
Brave.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But haven't we all been brave this year?
Yeah.
Like, we've been still showing up and doing stuff.
I have been.
Yeah, we are definitely at the... Whatever you do is brave at this point. You know, it's like, if you stay in bed, well, that's bravery.
Brave. It's praxis.
If you leave your house, also
the fact brave. That napping has become praxis is like the best thing that's ever happened to me.
One of my first advisors said to me, like, a lot of doing ethnographic research is showing up and not smelling bad and just kind of being there. And, you know, eventually, just like by being regularly present and not in a, like, an imposing way or anything like that, your research is generally going to go pretty well. And I also just applied that to a lot of my life, like, just like showing up and not being a stinker is generally going to make things okay. And now that's just like not only just a way to be tolerable in this world. I think it's just like an unmitigated success to be able to show up and not smell bad at this point.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good methodological.
Of them are going to be like, you say it's wrong to smell bad?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But it's metaphorical.
Then you're in trouble.
I think, yeah, I don't think he was actually meaning it metaphorically, but yeah, we can turn it into metaphor.
I'm gonna tell them it's metaphorical.
Funny how the night moves.